Ksuvas Perek Tes Mishnah Base 9-2. This Mishnah discusses certain halachas regarding the payout of the ksuba to the widow. Now, to understand this Mishnah, a bit of background required. When the children inherit the estate, the heirs, so they have a mitzvah to settle all the debts of their father, which is not just the ksuba. They could also have, you know, other creditors, you know, credit card payments that need to be paid. So they have a mitzvah to make all those payments. Now, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, and the Gemara afterwards, the halacha is that fixed assets, real assets, karka, those are mishubad, those are leaned to whatever creditors there are. If they have contracts, like, for example, the ksuba holder or the credit card company, if they may, you know, if they have a written contract. So people who lent money to the now deceased man had to get repaid, but their lien is only on the karka, physical assets, real assets. Not physical, I should say real assets, like land. Whereas metalin, chattels, movable objects, so those things, there isn't actually a strict lien on them, meaning there's a mitzvah on the heirs, the children, to pay back those debts. But unlike a fixed asset where the courts would force the sale and liquidation to obtain money to pay back those liabilities, those obligations to creditors and a wife, that's not the case when it comes to metalin, movable objects. According to the Mishnah and the Gemara thereafter, there would be no obligation. The kids have a mitzvah to repay back, but they could be bad kids and stay bad rich kids by keeping the money for themselves and not paying back the debts. Halacha l'maisa, already in the time of the Gaonim, after the Gemara was closed, there's a takana. They said, the Gaonim said, no, even the movable objects, metalin, are also mishubad, they're also leaned effectively, and therefore must be liquidated in order to pay back any debts that the deceased had prior to the heirs keeping whatever they get as an inheritance. But Amish is not assuming that. So now, how does it work? When there's a payment to be made, the claimant, the creditor, the credit card company, or the wife for that matter, would come to the children, the estate, and say, listen, I'm owed my 200 zuz. Here's the contract, the ksuba, whatever it is, and they would collect. But in order to collect, they also need to take a shavua. They need to swear that they hadn't been repaid already. In other words, it could be, for example, that, you know, the week before the father died, he realized he had credit card bills, so he paid the credit card company back the money. He paid the person from whom he borrowed, he paid back his debts. He paid his wife the cash. He said, listen, my kids are no good nicks. They're not going to pay you. They know the rule is that the movable objects are not lean to you, and they're not going to pay you. So I'm paying you cash now for my deathbed. So maybe they got paid out in cash, and they still have the contract, the shtar, the IOU, and they're now presenting it to get paid, if you will, a second time. So the way and there's no one to refute their claim because the person who repaid them is now dead. So therefore, of course, their claims are honored and their contracts are binding on the children, but they have to, in addition to claim with the contract, they also have to swear, take a formal oath, that they haven't been repaid. Okay? That's the backstory. So now, our Mishnah says, Misha Mase, a person dies. Now, let's say, for example, this person, he leaves both liabilities and assets. He's got creditors, and he's also got some, meaning he owes some people money, but also he lent some people money, or he gave some people some things to hold on his behalf, so there's assets also. But nothing in our picture here is considering real assets. So there's only movables, but there's no actual land. No one owns any land, and therefore nothing's going to be encumbered in the first place as far as the Mishnah is concerned. So the Mishnah says, Misha Mase v'hiniach Isha uvalchov v'yorshin. A fellow dies. He leaves all sorts of people who want his to empty out his bank account. First of all, you have his wife, and she's got a ksuba. She says, I want 200 zuz for my ksuba. Then he's got the balchov. He's got someone who lent him money, the credit card company, and they say, listen, we lent him 200 zuz. We want our 200 zuz. V'yorshin is also the heirs themselves, the kids. They say, listen, we want the 200 zuz for ourselves. In addition, he also had certain assets. What are those assets? V'hayalo pikadon O milva biyad acherim. He also had some assets, either in the form of a pikadon, a deposit, meaning he went to his neighbor and said, here I have this, you know, Kruger Rand, this gold coin, keep it safe for me. So his neighbor's holding the Kruger Rand, the gold coin, on his behalf. O milva, or he just loaned his next door neighbor 200 zuz, let's say. So the neighbor has to repay it. Now, the kids haven't gotten their hands on that Kruger Rand or on the repayment of the loan yet. So it would seem now they haven't, it's not yet considered an inheritance that's a metalton that isn't, you know, it's out of the claim, the legal demand of the creditor or of the wife. So the question is, so now the neighbor says, listen, I have this Kruger Rand, I have this 200 zoz that I owed the deceased. To whom should I pay it? That's the question. So Rabbi Tarfon is your archetypical liberal. And he says, listen, we got to try to right society's wrongs over here. And these kids are no good nicks. And if we give them the money, they're going to be bad kids. They might be rich kids, they'll be bad kids. And they're not going to pay back their mom or their credit card company, even though they have a mitzvah to do so. And therefore, says Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yinasnu l'koshel shebehen. That loan should be repaid from the neighbor, or the Kruger Rand that was in hell should be given back, not to the kids, but rather to the weakest of them, whoever's got the weakest claim. Since we have to try to help them out the most we can, whoever's got the weakest claim in court to get reimbursed, he's the one or she's the one who should get the money that's being held currently by the neighbor, that pikadon or that milva. Now, who is the koshel sheben? Who is the weakest person in the story here? So that's actually machlokas amoraim. According to one approach in the Amoraim and the Gemara there, the weakest person is the person who has the contract with the latest date. In other words, let's say, for example, there's only 200 zuz to go around, and the Mrs. the ksuba holder, the wife, says, listen, I was married in the year, whatever, 5001, and the credit card company says, we made the loan 200 zuz to the now deceased fellow, we made that loan, and here's the contract, it's dated, you know, 5002. So, since the wife's ksuba predates the IOU that was given to the credit card company, hers is from 5001, his from 5002, so therefore, she has kadima, she is the first claim, and therefore she'd get paid. So therefore, according to this approach in the Amoraim, the koshel sheben, the weakest person, the person who has the weakest claim, who's most likely to get stiffed and not get paid, is their credit card company, the Baal Chov, so they're the ones who should get paid. That's one approach. The other approach in Amoraim is the Reb Tarfon, who's the weakest person? It's always going to be the widow. I mean, she can't be expected to hire lawyers and go investigate what other assets there are and make claims and fight in court. No. She's a widow. She's got the total, you know, weakest hand to be played here. And therefore, she's the one we have to protect. So she's the one who should get the money directly from the person who's holding that IOU that was supposed to be paid back to the deceased person, or that Kruger Rand, that Mashkon, that whatever is being held. It should go to her. That's Rabbi Tarfon's approach. Now Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Marachin Bedin. He says, listen, we're here to carry out letter of the law. We're a bezin. There's a question being put to us, who should get this money? So we can't just say, well, we feel bad for certain people who are going to get stiffed. Listen, we have to do what the din is. And the din is, says Rabbi Kiva, that Eliyinasnu liyorshin. You should give it to the yorshin. You should give it to the heirs. Shekulan srichin shavua ve'ein hayorshin srichin shavua. Because the yorshin, the heirs, are muchzakim. They're the ones who are the default people to whom this should go. They're the ones who have like the strongest possession of it now, the strongest right to it now. Why? Because upon the moment of their father's death, like they are heirs, whereas the other people who have claims on the estate, they're not able to take anything until they make a satisfactory oath, a shavua, to the heirs. So until that shavua happens, who's got the right, upper hand, who's the muchzak, who's got, that's the heirs. So therefore, the heirs have the upper hand, they're the muchzakim, and therefore, they're the ones by rights to whom this deposit, minashkon, or the loan should go, and that's who should get it. Now, in the halacha is like, I'll call it like Rabbi Akiva, as much as, yes, indeed, the Mashkon, the deposit, or the collateral, or the loan, whatever it is, those assets go back to the estate, and the kids get them, but don't forget, because of the Tekanas Gaonim, it doesn't really matter so much, because now the claimants will come, and they will have like a lien on those loans, or Mashkon as well, so they'll get paid out, or the Bezin will force the heirs to pay them out, prior to the heirs keeping anything for themselves.